This morning, Psalm chapter 121. We're going to read that chapter. It's only 8 verses long. As a preacher, many times you sometimes the Lord deals with you on something, and you know it's going to be something you're going to share with others, and you jot it down and you put it in your memory bank as something. Okay, I'm going to revisit this and dig out of it. And then there's other times the Lord just lays something in your heart, and it's for you specifically, and you don't really have intentions of sharing it per se, but then at times the Lord allows for people to get sick, and you end up being the one standing behind the desk, and the Lord tells you that. Remember that thing that I laid in your heart? Now you're going to share it with somebody else, and that's what this is this morning, something here that it was the week before Christmas. One morning I was getting ready, doing my devotion, headed into work. And as I was there, this psalm come to mind, and it gave me such encouragement and strength. And I'll be honest with you, when Brother Derek, he said he was feeling sick on Thursday evening, we talked for a while, and he said he wasn't sure, depending on how things went, he may or may not be here today, just wanting to use precaution. And then as other members of the family kept getting sick, he decided it would be wise if they stayed home today. And his sister Holly is still sick, I believe it is correct. But as he said that to me there, I realized I'm going to be preaching on New Year's most likely, and I was thinking in my mind of past messages I preached other places and on New Year's, and I tried to rehearse in my mind different things, and nothing really seemed to work. And I was just there, and I was like, Lord, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know what to preach. I know we're not going to be many there, but I want to have something for your people who are there. And as I was praying yesterday afternoon, the Lord led me back here, and I just, it once again refreshed and helped me, and I trust it will do the same for you this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn Psalm 121 if you're already there. Let's stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, if you are able. If you're not, you can remain seated. But I want us to read this together. The Bible says in Psalm 121, verse 1, it's a song of degrees. And the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Can you say amen to God's word this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We're not here to peruse its pages, but we are here to take in the truth of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would reach down to those. I know minds may be distracted and deterred by who's not here this morning. But Lord, I pray that you would draw our attention for just a while upon the eternal dividends of your word this morning, Lord, as we endeavor to grow by it and gain knowledge for our understanding and living as believers, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to hearts and touch lives in this new year. And Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Psalm chapter 121. It's one that I have often quoted, and I've read it many times, but it's one that just come back to new life to me just about 2 weeks ago. Such a personal psalm here. As we read this, we don't know who this author of this psalm is. Many of them are ascribed to a specific author, many of which are ascribed unto David, a few unto Solomon, some unto Moses. But in the 150 chapters ascribed in the book of Psalms, here we find this 121st psalm as being a psalm of degrees. The author may be anonymous, but we know it is an individual who was moved moved on by the Holy Spirit to write under the unction of God. The circumstances that led to this psalm, and specifically which caused the psalmist to look into the mountains or the hills, are not stated here. But the implication of this psalmist looking for help is that he may have been in a state of anxiety or distress. He was looking for help. He was looking for some sort of strength that he did not find in himself. How many's ever been there this morning? I've been to that place where I could not find the strength within myself. I didn't hardly have the ability to put one foot in front of the other, so to speak. But yet, when I lift up my eyes beyond myself, I find a strength that is not my own, but it is a very present help in the day of trouble. You know something, I find many individuals, they struggle with asking for help. You know, there's a lot of people don't like to ask for help. They feel like it's beneath them. And I know I myself, I don't often like to ask for help when I'm doing something. If I can do it myself, I want to do it on my own. But you know, spiritually, there's times that gets me into trouble, and it leads me in that prayer closet to feeling like I am desperate and in need of an outside source of strength. Oh, but I thank God that He is faithful. When I will lift up my eyes to Him, He is faithful to meet me there in that moment. And that is what we see here in this psalm. The psalmist crying out in his moment of distress unto the helper that lies beyond the mountains. I want to preach this morning. The title of my message is Help from Beyond the Hills. Help from beyond the hills. Psalm 121 is a psalm about the Lord's help and protection. The Hebrew word shamar, meaning to help, to keep, or to preserve, is used 6 times in this chapter. It's used in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, twice in verse 7, and also in verse 8 as well. It's over and over that God will keep, God will preserve, God is going to be with you, is the idea of this psalm. 4 things we'll look at this morning as the psalmist declares. First of all, he says, God is my helper. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It begins with the title there. Although the titles were not necessarily divinely inspired, they do help us to understand the setting of this psalm here. And it says it is a song of degrees. Most likely these were songs written for those who would travel up to Jerusalem the 3 times a year during the required feast times. Jerusalem was situated nearly 2,700 feet above the surrounding valleys, and some of these songs were sung as men and women would make their way up the temple steps, thus giving them the name, the Song of Degrees or the Song of Ascents. So here it was, the pilgrims, as they were traveling at the required time into Jerusalem, and they may have been traveling from the lower regions surrounding Jerusalem. As they ascended up there, they would perhaps sing Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. There, Jerusalem being situated on a mountain or on a hill there, they could look up there and see, if I can just make it to the temple, I know I will be in the presence of God. The superscription of this psalm here, meaning it was sung originally by the Old Testament worshipers as they made their journey to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. They made such a journey 3 times a year. Making the trip to Jerusalem required making an upward ascent and elevation to the holy city to attend the feast. There were no paved roads, but for the most part, only well-trodden paths across the valleys, across the sides of rivers, and across the mountain passes. And this psalm recounts the arduous journey and the abundant strength that they found in the Lord Himself to complete their trip. It begins with the words, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. This literally means I lift up my eyes to the mountains. I will tell you this, the original King James translation of verse 1 suggests a thought to many people, namely that the psalmist was looking to the mountains for his help. But I will tell you this, if you read the rest of this psalm, he was not looking to the mountains for his help. He was looking beyond the mountains to the one who created the mountains. And there he found his his source of strength and help, even in the midst of a long journey. Oh, he said, I lift up my eyes. It begins with a choice. He says, I'm going to do it. I will. This signifies that the psalmist makes a choice of his will to look up to God. How often when faced with test and trial and affliction, oh, we choose to look at those things and behold about us all of the things that come against us. But we must, as believers, make a choice to lift our eyes beyond all of these things unto the one who can help us in our hour of need. Rather than gazing upon these things, we gaze upward to the omnipotent Father, the one who cares and loves us and keeps his hand upon us. You know something, I was thinking yesterday, my wife was gone with her mother for a while and I was watching my son. And there were several times as he was there, I would put him down in his little play area and he would play. And I was keeping an eye on him. I was doing other things, but I was keeping an eye on him, listening for his cry, you know. And there'd come a certain point when he got tired of being down there, or whatever the reason was, if he needed something, he'd begin to cry out. He can't speak, but he'd begin to cry. And I knew he wanted me there. And he'd reach out and he's wanting somebody to be there with him. What was it? He knew who to cry to. He knew if he cried, he was going to get help. The same way should be with us. When we cry, we know that God hears us because he is our Father and he cares about us. I like what A.W. Pink said. He said, faith is to the soul what the eye is to the body, namely that which enables its possessor to look outside of himself and steadfastly fix his gaze on an external object. And hence it is that the exercise and act of faith is so often referred to in the Word under the figure of lifting up your eyes unto the Lord. It allows us, faith allows us to take our gaze and look beyond ourselves to the one who is ultimate, to the one who is our keeper. Oh, he said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. What do the hills or the mountains represent here? Well, in Psalm 11 and 1, David described the mountains as a hiding place. He said, in the Lord do I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. It was a hiding place. In Nahum 1 and 5, the mountains were a symbol of God's deliverance. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Psalm 23, the mountains represent, being in the valley beneath the mountains represented looming danger, because he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, there I was amongst the mountains, beneath the mountains, and as the sun began to set, they began to cast shadows across my way, and the mountains represented looming danger. All of these things are biblical. But what we notice here is he asked a question. He said, from whence cometh my help? In all actuality, the King James Version should take and put a question mark at the end of that, because it is a question. It's an interrogative statement. It's a question. From where does my help come from? This is a question that is rhetorical in nature, because the psalmist immediately answers the question in the very next phrase. He said, I lifted up my eyes to the mountains. And the question come to mind, where does my help come from? And immediately the answer comes, my help cometh from the Lord. Notice that. Your Bible most likely will have that word Lord there in all capital letters. It's the word Yahweh, Jehovah. It's the covenant name of God. He said, my help comes from the Lord. Notice that the psalmist says, my help, implying a personal possession. Oh yes, the Lord may be here today and he may help everyone in this room. But I will tell you this morning, I have found him to be personal. I have found him to be my help. The one that is a very present help in the day of trouble. The one to whom I run to and I approach boldly under the throne of grace and find grace to help in the time of need. It's my help this morning. It's your help when we approach under his throne. The psalm begins in an interrogative tone, "From whence cometh my help?" with a question mark in verse 1. However, the rest of this psalm is imperative in nature, stating facts about who God is and what He does on our behalf. It begins with a question, "Where does my help come from?" But from that point forward, he begins to make statements, "My help cometh from the Lord. He does not slumber nor sleep. He watches over Israel. He keeps my foot from sliding. He will guard my going forth and my coming in from this day forward, even forevermore." Makes one statement after another. The word translated "help" there is a derivative of the root word that means to help or to support. It's the word "ezer" in the Hebrew. I bring to mind the idea there. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Philistines had come out to fight against the children of Israel, and they had already wrought a great victory in the past. And there, as Samuel steps out in the battlefield, you know what he does? He comes and he anoints a rock, and what does he name it? He names it Ebenezer. And what does it mean? It means "hitherto the Lord hath helped us." In other words, up until this point, God has not failed us. He has been our helper. It was a statement of faith saying that up until this point, God has not failed us. Why would He start now? I say this morning, He is still our Ebenezer. We can pour the oil on the rock and proclaim up until this point, God has been our helper, and He will continue to help us from this point forward. Oh, I thought of this. Troubles come from many places. It comes from all sides. Paul said, without were fightings and within were fears. He said we were distressed on every side. Trouble comes from many places, but our help only comes from one. Ooh, trouble comes from the rear, it comes from the front, it comes from the sides, but our help comes from above. Oh, I thank God for that this morning. Trouble may compass you round about. You may be like those ones in Psalm chapter 105, and you may feel like you're at your wit's end this morning. But I will tell you this, trouble may surround you, but your help comes from one place, and that is from the Lord Himself. Oh, yes, there was this idea that help would come from the hills. You'd understand the history of Israel. They were prone to idolatry. If you read throughout the scriptures, it's hundreds of times in the Old Testament, he references the high places upon which the children of Israel committed their spiritual adulteries. It was the idea that there were these other gods that dwelled in these high places, and you could go there and worship them. But Jeremiah declared the vanity of this. He said, "Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." He said, in other words, all those other places you think are going to be an escape from the trouble. You think you're going to go there and escape from the issues. Oh no, you'll not find any help there. Now, how many people think if they can get one more vacation, they'll find the help that they need? If I can just take off a few days from work and get away from everything, I'm going to find the help that I need. And they come back to the same problems, the same distresses, the same issues, the same problems in life. Oh, I'll tell you this, you're not going to find your help in a vacation or a sabbatical. You'll only find your help in the Lord and in Him alone. Oh. In vain you'll look for salvation from other places, but it only comes from God. Our help comes from beyond the hills. The psalmist addresses where our help comes from. He said, it is from the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, as already said. A confession reflecting the psalmist's faith or trust that God was his helper. The helper is none other than Yahweh, the great I Am, the unchanging, eternal, self-existing, living God, the I Am that I Am that spoke unto Moses. And he said, when I look up there and I see him for who he is, I realize that is the one who helps me. If the one who gave water out of a rock and caused manna to fall from the sky and caused us to walk in deliverance, that's the same God who helps me even today. Oh yes, it's the covenant-keeping God, the one who stands by our side and never leaves us. He goes on to say, the Lord which made heaven and earth, regardless of the meaning of the mountains, as we already discussed in the psalm. The psalmist declares that the one who made the mountains stands over the believer. It didn't matter whatever the mountains may hold, whether they were of great hope or they were of great distress. He said, I'm not looking to mountains. I'm looking beyond the mountains to the one who created the mountains. Our help is not found in creation, but in the Creator. Oh, I thank God for that, because creation can fail, but the Creator has never failed. I like what he said in Isaiah chapter 40 to give us an understanding of who he is, this one who created the heavens and the earth. The writer there pens these words. He said, O Jerusalem, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord your God will come with a strong hand, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out the heavens with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. He said, oh, don't be afraid, Jerusalem. You got to know who your helper is. He's the one who measured out the dust that the mountains are made out of. He's the one who knows exactly every drop of water that's in the sea. This is the one who is on your side. Don't be afraid. I will tell you this morning, believer, you have no need to be afraid, because the one who hung the stars in the heavens, the one who spoke and worlds came into existence, is the very one who is your helper this morning. I will tell you this, Satan will endeavor to keep your eyes upon your sorrows, but we must lift our eyes to our source of strength and help. Oh, one man said, when the outlook is bleak, remember the uplook. When the outlook is bleak, remember the uplook. We may look around us this morning, and if you read the news or you watch the news, you'll get depressed. I'll tell you, it'll weigh on you. Oh, this new variant of COVID going around, and this many people are getting infected, the highest infection rate we've ever seen. And oh, then they go into geopolitics or world politics, and they go through all of the problem that's going on. This nation's having trouble with this nation. This leader's saying this about that one, and all of this is going on. The outlook looks bleak, but I'll tell you this morning, the uplook looks great. The uplook looks great. It looks as good as it's ever looked, because God is still seated on the throne. And he has not changed. He said unto Israel, behold, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Oh, yes. The psalmist looks first at what he can see, but recognizes shortly that his real help comes from one who is unseen. He said, what I see is depressing, but the one who is unseen is encouraging. And so he looks with eyes of faith, even as Moses did, as the Bible declares in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Oh, yes, Moses looked beyond what he could see to one he could not see. I encourage you, believer, your help comes from one you may not be able to see him. But I'll tell you this, you can know him. You can have a relationship with him. And when you do, you will find he will never fail. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is a God who is an ever-present help in the day of trouble. Not only is he a helper, but the psalmist goes on to talk about how he's a keeper. Oh, I'm glad to know I serve a God who not only helps me, but he keeps me. Notice what he says in verses 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He says he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. In other words, if you put your foot in a place... He says this figuratively, but understand what he's saying. He said, if you put your foot in a place in the will of God, he said, your foot will not be moved until God allows it. What a thought that is. God will not let your foot slip. He'll actively keep believers from falling during their journey. And if he does not allow our foot to slip, the idea is that he will enable us to stand. Like children, we are safe when our Father holds our hand. Ooh, what a thought. Jude echoes the truth of Psalm 121 and 3, writing these words in Jude and verses 24 and 25 of chapter 1. It's the only chapter of that book. But now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. What is it? He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He keeps watch over us. Oh, you know what Hannah cried out in her prayer, or she cried out there in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9, he keepeth the feet of his saints. In other words, he gives them a sure footing to stand on, something to have assurance in. Oh, what was it? I believe it was Gloria Gaither penned the words. She was talking about there. She says, I have no fear about tomorrow. Why was it? Because he lives. Because he lives. He gives me sure footing. Because he watches over me. Because he cares for me. Because he is as a father unto his children. And he would never let us slip or fall by the wayside. He said, he that keepeth thee. The word rendered keepeth is used to refer to different things. The phrase watches over or keepeth means to hedge about, as in guarding or protecting a person or object. It was used to describe a gardener tending a garden in Genesis 2 and 15. How many gardeners do you know? If you're a good gardener, you're going to look out over what you're growing, right? You don't save a section over here for weeds and this section for fruit, right? Now the weeds may grow, but you take care of them, don't you? If you're doing it right. So is God, the one who watches out over us when he sees the weeds, the things that would cause us to turn away from him, spring up in our lives. He deals with them. Not only was it used of a gardener watching over a garden, it was used of a shepherd watching over their flock in Genesis 30 and 31. It's the same word, shemar, to watch out over the flock. Does he not watch out over us? He said, there be 99 sheep, and if one of them go astray, he said, I'll go and search for it and bring it back in. He's as a good shepherd watching over his flock. It was used of a man who watched over his household goods to make sure nobody would break through and steal. A good steward. God makes sure that the strong man, which is the enemy, does not break through and discourage and destroy, but rather he watches over carefully. At times, the enemy forgets this. At times, the enemy forgets not who I am, but whose I am. It's not about who I am, my lineage, or where I come from. It's about who I belong to, because I've been bought with a price, and I am not my own. You say, what kind of price have you been bought with? I've been bought with the precious blood of the Son of God. I want to remind the enemy of that this morning. You may forget who I am, but you'll never forget whose I am. I belong unto the Lord, and he is my keeper. Oh, he says he will not slumber nor sleep. I thought about a story I read, and I had to look it up to find it. Paul Rees told this wonderful story about a man during World War II who was on an American ship that was shot and was sinking. And as he dove off the deck and held on to something in the water for a while until he was picked up by the German freighter, he had a couple of other men were thrown into the belly of the ship as prisoners. And he wrote in his little biography, he said, I began there in fear to commune with the Lord. At first, I couldn't sleep. The stress was great and the fear was great. Then I remembered the words of the psalmist in Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he will neither slumber nor sleep. So I said, Lord, there isn't any use of both of us staying awake. As long as you're going to keep watch, I think I'll get some sleep. No need in both of us staying awake. I'll tell you this morning, believer, there's no need in spending sleepless nights of worry, because he's going to watch anyway, get some rest, because the one that watches over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. He don't fall out and sleep. He doesn't have to close his eyes to get a rest, but rather his eyes go to and fro throughout the entire earth, beholding both the good and the evil. He is a God who never slumbers nor sleeps. Not only is he my helper, not only is he my keeper, but also the psalmist declares he's my protector. He said, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, is what the psalmist declares. For the psalmist's shade provides needed relief from a blazing sun. If you think about a pilgrim here making their journey up to Jerusalem, perhaps the journey was long. And in the scorching days of the Palestine sun, oh, they would long for a little bit of shade in the midst of a wilderness. He said, Lord, you are my shade. You are the one who watches over me and protects me from the sun. Oh, I like what Isaiah 25 and 4 declares, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, and a shadow from the heat. Oh, is he not the one who protects us from the monotony of everyday life as it would wear down upon us like the sun would wear down upon a weary traveler? But the Lord is our shade and our protector in that day. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The sun and the moon will not harm his people. These two celestial bodies stand for dangers that occur both by day and by night. But in spite of these difficulties, God's protection is continuous and constant. I tell you, in that time, as we mentioned, there's a danger of sunstroke in such hot regions as this area of which we speak of in Bible times. But there's no reason for thinking that it would be such here, because God is a shade to those during the day. But what about, he says, the moon shall not strike thee by night. What does that mean? So I began to study that. I looked into it. It was believed that if you stayed under the rays of the moon too long, you would go insane. It's where we get the word lunatic. It means moonstruck. So the idea was this: not only will he protect you during the day from the outward elements, he said, but from the inward elements, the things which would wear upon the mind. He not only protects the body, but he also protects the mind. He said, this moon shall not strike thee by night. In other words, God cares about the whole being. He is a keeper of everything, and he is our protection and refuge. Oh, think of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. What was he? He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The sun shall not strike thee, nor the moon by night. And the fourth thing, God is our preserver. Notice verses 7 through 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. What is this threefold preservation of the Lord that the psalmist speaks of here? Notice what he says. First of all, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He said, he is my preserver. Jehovah Shammah. He is my preserver. From all evil? How much evil? All. He said, he is one who will keep you from all evil. Jesus said, it is necessary that afflictions will come, but woe unto the one from which they come. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation and distresses. He said, but don't fear, because I have overcome the world. What is it? In Christ we are preserved from evil. How much evil? All evil. No evil shall befall us, lest it is allowed at the hand of God, because he is the one who keeps us from all evil. Oh, I like what Paul declared in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18 as he's getting ready to be martyred for his faith. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Every one of them. He said, God will not allow anything that's not in his eternal plan and purpose. Paul would say it like this in an earlier point. What shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? He said, I'm convinced that none of these things is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What is it? He's our preserver. He preserves us from all evil. Doesn't matter where it comes from or who the source of it is. He said, God will keep you in the midst of it all. Not only does he preserve you from evil, but the Bible says he shall preserve thy soul. The seed of your emotions, your innermost being. He'll preserve your soul. I'm glad to know this morning my body may perish, but my soul has been preserved. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16? For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said the outward man may die. The outward man may perish. But he said, God's preserved my soul. In other words, I'm guarded for glory. I've been preserved by God and my soul is kept by him. Oh, I'm glad to know one that keeps the soul. Then finally, he shall preserve that going out and that coming in even forevermore. Many commentators pick up on this. This is a blessing of Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe, verses 6 through 7. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and thou shalt and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee in seven. In other words, he said, in all your ways, God will preserve you. Whether you're leaving the house, going to work on a Monday morning, going to church on a Wednesday night, or coming back home at the end of a long work day, he said, God will preserve you. He preserves you in all of your ways. This is what I like to refer to as complete keeping. He keeps you in everything. And if something befalls, you know this, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. He didn't say all things are good. He said at the end of it, the final summation of it all, he said all things work together for the good of those that love God. Oh, 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed that he is well able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What was it? He keeps me in everything, Paul said. If I've committed it into his hands, he's able to keep it. Can I tell you, believer, this morning, whatever you've committed to him, he can keep. Whatever you put in his hands, he can keep. Let us trust him. I like what Adoniram Judson said. He said, the great missionary to Burma, he said, God has not led me so tenderly thus far to forsake me at the very gates of heaven. I believe he wrote it in a letter to his sister, if I'm getting the story correct. There he was working in Burma. He's eventually going to die in that pagan society, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he said, he's not led me thus far. He's not bought me this long way to leave me now, is what he's saying. Can I tell you something, believer? God's not bought us all the way to 2022 to leave us now. He didn't bring us this far for us to write Ichabod above the door and say the glory of God has departed. I'll tell you this, if he's got us this close to glory, I've got to believe he'll take us the rest of the way. If he's bought me 27 years, I believe he can lead me another 80. I may not be here that long. That's okay. I don't believe I will be. But I'm going to tell you one thing. As long as I so shall live, I believe he'll keep me and he'll do the same for you. I asked my wife to come this morning to the piano. We're entering in upon a new year. And with this new year, we're going to have new toils, new trials, new temptations, and new troubles. In whatever state, in whatever place, in whatever condition we may be found in this year, Let us seek grace to follow our Lord's loving advice and look up. Whatever temptation, whatever trial, whatever toil, let us look up. Don't look back as Lot's wife did. Don't look within as too many do. Don't look around as David did as he saw the men getting ready to stone him. But I encourage you, look up. Look up to God. He is your Father, your friend, and your Savior. He can help you. And I say with confidence, not only can He help you, but He will help you. He will help you. He says, look unto me and be delivered, for I am thy God, in Isaiah 45 and 22. Look up for the light to guide you, and I believe He will direct your path. Look up for grace to keep you, and the grace of Christ will be found sufficient. Look up for strength to enable you to do and to suffer God's will, and His strength will be made perfect through your weakness. Look up for comfort to cheer you, and as one whom his mother comforts, so will the Lord comfort you. Look up for courage to embolden you, and the Lord will give you the courage to stand in the day of adversity. Look up for endurance to keep you. Look up for providence to supply you. Look up in faith. Look up in prayer. Look up in hope. And look up in adoration. And finally, I say, look up constantly, because the Lord is thy helper and He will keep you. From this point, even forevermore. Let's stand this morning. Because when we look up, it'll keep your head from swimming, your heart from sinking, your knees from trembling, your feet from slipping, and your hands from hanging down. Look up, because He's the one who keeps you in all your ways. Final thing I'll say this morning, and we're going to pray. Run looking, work looking, fight looking, suffer looking, live looking, and die looking to Jesus Christ, the author, the beginner, and the finisher of your faith. And I promise you, as long as you maintain that outlook, you won't ever fall. Now unto Him that is able to keep you. Oh, I'm glad I can lift my eyes beyond everything else going on, and I can look to one who's able to keep. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray this morning. Father, we need supernatural strength. Oh, but Lord, we don't find it in anything around us or even anything beyond us, but we look up to You and You alone, because our troubles come from many sources, but our strength only comes from one, and that is You. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'd reach down and minister this morning. Strengthen us and help us, oh God, to lift our eyes of faith beyond everything else and look to You and to You alone. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Let it be done for Your glory. Lord, I pray that You'd minister to Your people. Let us look up in this new year. I hope the Word of God has ministered to you this morning. I encourage you in this new year, look up. We got one to look to who never fails us. I thought about a story of a little boy who was digging in a sandbox. And he had one of the little plastic shovels, and as he was there, he uncovered this rock in the middle, rather large rock. So being a little boy and being inquisitive, he started digging down, and he got to the bottom of that rock and realized it was rather large, but he wanted to get it out of the sandbox. The sandbox had higher sides in there, so he drug that rock all the way over to the edge, and he tried to lift that rock up out of that sandbox. But he couldn't do it. Time after time, the rock would fall back down. Eventually, it landed on the little boy's little fingers, and he began to cry. He wasn't hurt too badly. His father actually had been standing at the window watching the little boy as he did all of this. And he come outside and he said, "What's the matter, son?" He said, "Dad, I've been trying with everything I've got to get this rock out of the sandbox and I just can't do it." He said, "Well, did you try with all the strength you have?" He said, "Yes, Daddy, I tried with everything within me." He said, "No, you don't understand what I'm saying." And he went over there and he picked up the rock and he took it out of the sandbox. He said, "You didn't realize my strength is your strength as well. You just had to ask." I'll tell you this morning, we got to realize His strength is our strength as well. We just got to ask. Look to Him. Be encouraged in this new year. God bless you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.